Before we start this meeting, we're going to just kind of open up in a time of just corporate prayer. I'm going to kick it off, but you guys don't need a microphone to be a voice heard by the Lord and around each other. So we're just going to spend some time in prayer, and then in a few minutes, Pastor David's going to be coming in here and sharing some stuff with us, and then we're just going to go through our time together from there. So if we could, let's just bow our heads, and let's just spend some time before the Lord. Just quieting our hearts before Him. Lord, I thank You, God. Lord, for the goodness of who You are. Your greatness shown both to us and equally shown through us, God, in our lives as we continue to seek to live after You, Father. Lord, I thank You for the just the very real and very obvious way that You've been involved in each and every one of our lives here and our time here at the Bridge, Father. Lord, the things that are going on around us in this fellowship, in this building, and the opportunities that You're laying before us, God. Lord, these just aren't happenstance. Lord, the heart that seeks after You, God, knows Your heart and sees the direction that You're taking us. And seeks to respond and follow where You would lead, God. Lord, I thank You for what You've opened up as a door of opportunity for us with this school that's here, with the many lives that have the potential to be impacted, God. Lord, I say potential, God, because, Lord, if all we do is invite them into a building and then usher them out, God, we're doing very little to feed them spiritually. But, God, You're opening up opportunities for conversation amongst staff with some of these teachers, even with some of the students, God. We've had individuals that are saved, and we thank You for that, Lord. God, I pray if there are opportunities that we can be a part of where we open up our doors to the community, and this community in particular, God, I pray that You would just give us the boldness and courage to walk through those doors, God. Lord, whenever we choose to have our hearts aligned with You in the direction that You're taking us, Father, God, You open the doors wide open for opportunity for spiritual ministry to happen, Lord. God, I pray that You would just continue to so equip us as individuals that seek after You, Lord, for those opportunities, God, that we would be discerning, Lord, that we would walk in Your wisdom and how to minister in those situations. Lord, I pray that we'd be encouraged through those opportunities, Father. That we wouldn't take them for granted. Lord, You purposed each and every one of us with a life to be lived for You. God, help us to so fulfill the missions that You have for each and every one of us, Lord. Those daily missions, those lifelong missions, God. Continue to instill those in our heart, God. Lord, I pray that as a leadership community here in this fellowship, God, Lord, that You would continue to equip us. Give us that hunger, God, to thirst and hunger after You in Your ways of righteousness, that we would honor You, God. Lord, that we would be meditating in Your word, that we would be spending time in fellowship of prayer with You, God. Lord, give us that hunger and give us that thirst. So that we might be a people that continues to seek and press in after You, Your blessings and Your vision that You have for us as a fellowship, God. And we thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for it. Lord, give us these few moments just to meditate on Your word. Pray that You would minister to us in that. Pray that You would continue to encourage us through this, Lord. God, I thank You for every brother and sister that are here, how You've equipped them and empowered them for leadership roles within this church, God. I pray that they would be reminded of Your blessings and of Your goodness and that very call that You've played on each and every one of their lives, Lord, to walk as leaders in this fellowship, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I apologize. I'm going to look like that 20-year-old punk with my hat on backwards. I've been hanging out at soccer and baseball fields in the rain this morning, and I feel a little drowned, so. And if I keep the hat on this way with the lighting in here, I look like the Grim Reaper, so. Anyways, I want to just quickly share for just a moment something the Lord had laid on my heart late last night, and which was kind of funny then because I got an email from Pastor David late last night just asking if I'd just share briefly for a few minutes. So it's just more or less confirmation to me. But I want to just read Psalm 112 with you for just a moment here. Because it speaks of the Lord's goodness and his blessings for his people, his desire for us and going deeper with him, and, you know, as I read it last night, I recognized, just like our qualifications that we talk about for leadership within the church, we go to 1 Timothy, Titus, and we look those things up. The realization is again, those are qualifications that we look for in those individuals, and we'd each and every one would be disqualified if we leaned wholly on an adherence that we are in that individual always. And I recognize reading through Psalm 112 that I'm not always that individual. I'm not always that man that God would like to bless me in being. But here's a picture of the blessings and the desire that the Lord has for each and every one of us. And I think each and every one of us would sit back and say, that is the individual we want to be. We want to be blessed by the Lord in this way. God gives us that desire to pursue after him. He gives us our giftings and equips us, prepares us for these moments. Psalm 112:1 begins, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments." Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, delights greatly in his commandments. It begins with having a reverence for who the Lord is. A reverential fear of who he is and seeking after his ways, after his commandments. Again, the qualifications are great, mentioned in 1 Timothy and Titus, but really for each and every one of us that calls ourselves a follower of Christ, those are qualifications that we all need to be striving for. Not just unique to the deacon or the elder per se. You call yourself an individual seeking after the Lord. Those are qualifications. Those are the traits that we all seek and desire to live our lives patterned after, at least in demonstrated model to the world around us. So while it's nice that we get a call or a title of being a leader in a fellowship, that's great. That isn't a title that we as leaders in the church bestow on you guys. I want you all to recognize these are calls that the Lord has laid on each and every one of your lives. There's a difference. He's the one that's equipping and empowering you in the ministry opportunities that are afforded to you. The Lord has called us, each and every one of us, in those positions. We just recognize and identify the maturity of the life that's lived out in adherence to seeking after the Lord. But in doing that, we also know that as we do step out, that target becomes a little bit bigger on each and every one of us and on our families, those around us that love us, the things that we're involved in. It's all part of the package. I say that in part because we're going to go through those seasons where the enemy is going to try wearing us out. Each and every one of us, we go through it. It's tough in those moments to count that as a badge of honor sometimes, but really that's what it is. You're just individuals that are being identified and targeted because of your adherence and seeking after the Lord. The psalm goes on to say, "His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arise light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. Again, this is the individual I want to be. This is the individual we want to be. In reality, there are times that we've allowed ourselves to be shaken or will allow ourselves to be shaken. But this is the Lord's desires for us, okay? The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn, or his symbol of power, will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Again, I said it before, you're not leaders by mere qualifications because of what it says in 1 Timothy or Titus. You wives are not leaders because of qualifications in 1 Timothy and Titus. Whether you're called as an elder to be a man of prayer or a deacon to be likewise, but to do many of the physical things around here, you're first and foremost a leader because God has called and equipped you to be that. Your dependence is on him. And his promises are to be lived through you and what he has for you. And so if I can encourage you in one thing, recognizing you're more than just an individual walking around here with a badge on Sunday mornings and Thursday nights. Pastor D.A. and I will talk about this frequently in ways that you as leaders in the church are blessing us as a fellowship. The positions that you hold, whether it's in active ministry duties or it's just being a face out there with a badge on to be an ambassador for the leadership of the church, that touches more lives, to be quite honest, than myself and a lot of us others behind the scenes a lot of times do in this church. And I want you guys to realize and again recognize you've been empowered for these positions. You've been equipped with them. And when the enemy keeps throwing those targets against you, read Psalm 112. Get back into the Psalms and be encouraged. His blessings are for you, his leaders. And the people around will be more blessed as well as you continue to step up and to walk into all that God has for you with your leadership capabilities. Also, one last thing. We go through those seasons. Those targets are real. Those struggles are real. Those aren't the times to buck up and try to be someone that we're not. Each and every one of us walks in human frailty. When you recognize those moments, when you recognize those moments amongst your spouse, get the encouragement that you need. Spend time in the prayer. Spend time in the Word. And be encouraged. It is a badge of honor when you are persecuted or attacked in those sorts of ways. Pastor David, you want to come share something?
Let's continue to pray. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us, saving us, forgiving us, calling us. Thank you for giving us ears to hear the call. The quietness of our souls to respond. Lord, we thank you that in your word you tell us to keep the unity of the Spirit. you show us that we've already been given that unity in your Spirit. Lord, empower us to help keep it. May we set spiritual gates at our ears, our eyes, and especially our mouths. We thank you for the glorious opportunity to serve together. And to store up heavenly rewards as we do so. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. It's interesting. Kevin used the word honor. And Kevin, most of you are aware of this, has been with us, with me, since a few months after we moved out of the house. And I think of him sometimes when somebody will come and they'll be here a few months and they'll go, oh, there's so many changes around here. I'm like, the word honor. Is an interesting word. God has honored us by calling us into leadership. I won't let that sink in for a second. The God of all creation, the Messiah, that died for us, honors us. By allowing us to serve in leadership. And while the position is one of honor, and when I say position, I'm not just talking about deacons, I'm talking about deacons and their wives. Because scripture in 1 Timothy 3 talks about the man and the woman. And you better believe that before you got invited to be a deacon, we inspected your marriage. We put bugs in your house, cameras, little web things. It's amazing what we can do now. No, but seriously, there's some guys and, we're in the process of considering some new deacons and some of them great guys, but some of them for different reasons, some of them because of a marriage that we didn't think was strong enough, or a wife that was not behaving in a spiritual leadership fashion. So when I say honor, it's both the man and the woman. Says being a deacon or an elder or elder's wives or a deacon's wife is a position of honor, but it's not an honorary position. It's an active one. You weren't invited to be, and I'm going to say deacon, but just keep thinking of the couple. You weren't invited to be a deacon because you served or even served well or served consistently. You were invited because myself and others saw leadership in you. Now, leadership is it's kind of like honor. It's another interesting word. Leadership is one of those gifts that sharpens with use, not dulls with use, sharpens with use. So we're called to be leaders in our marriages, leaders in our homes, leaders in our communities, and very obviously leaders in our church. I asked the question last week, you know, what would this church look like if everyone served like you do, or gives like you do, or I think I used the 10 as well, like you do. When we carry the title of deacon, be it I'm a deacon, my husband's a deacon, it's, I'll give you a phrase, pregnant with potential. You have the opportunity to really lead somebody in their relationship with the Lord. Now, they will begin to follow you because you have the title. They won't keep following you because you have the title. They watch, they listen to what you say and watch what you do. And I got to tell you, I'm, thank you, sir. Phil Cook came in yesterday, he's a good friend, and it's pretty cool when we get together because we get really excited about reaching people for Jesus and how we can affect more people. And I'm excited about what the Lord's doing in our fellowship. If you've been here on Thursday evenings, you've seen what the Lord is doing. Sunday mornings, seeing what the Lord is doing. When you look around in a church and there's more people at the altar than are still seated, God's doing something. Now, in order to encourage growth, God always does something that's painful. He always prunes, you know. And sometimes he prunes your favorite branch or the part of the plant you just thought was really pretty or special and gets lopped off. But God does that for our benefit and for our blessing and for the blessing of the people that we're surrounded with. And there's a purity, a quality, a passion, and a fire with leadership, with staff, and that's being contagious to the people. And honestly, it's been we had to go through a pruning process to get there. I don't want to talk about the people who aren't here. But it's been a purifying thing, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. Because when you're going into a battle, you know, you don't really want to be looking around going, gee, how many of these people, when the bullets start flying, and it seems like I'm leading them straight into the jaws of death, are going to turn around and run? You know, if there's 10 people out of 100 that are going to be committed, I'd rather know who those 10 are up front. congratulations, man. I'm being serious, because God has placed us in this fire and brought us through, and I'm convinced we're on the other side and now experiencing the benefit and the fruit and the blessings of that. The fire, you could define it different ways. You would define it as what you've been through. I would define it as what I've been through. And, certainly we were in the season. And God told me I just couldn't really describe it to anybody until we were on the other side of it. And that is, deepening the teachers and the people that are leading. And that's not something that's over. That's something we're continuing to do. And will continue to do. But to step back even a little bit from something that had been so dear and precious in my heart and my life, it was pretty painful. And then as people would say, hey, hadn't been seeing much of you, I wanted to always explain, but didn't feel the freedom to do so. Sorry? Thank you. And then I warned Kevin and Mike a couple months ago. I said, man, God's getting ready to release me in a new season of teaching. And some of the people that were complaining I wasn't here are now complaining I am here. So it's like Paul, you can't please everybody. And gang, keep that in mind, man. You can't please everybody. We're not asking you to please everybody. As a matter of fact, if you're pleasing everybody, you're not being a leader. And you got to know something. When somebody, the Bible says, receive not an accusation against an elder or somebody who's spiritually mature. We have people that come to us about you guys, and we shut them down. And send them back to you, or just tell them to hush. That's part of being a leader. And I have, I've wanted to see this purifying work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And and we're seeing it. And it's going to be interesting going forward what that looks like in our lives and in the life of the body. I mean, God is doing, he's doing amazing things, man. Part of the reason I share those testimonies on Sunday morning is to give you all a picture. But I can't do that in a few minutes. And I could take from now until 12 o'clock tonight telling you about, a woman who was in the Mormon church for over 30 years and came to our church and got saved. Or the guy who was a IV heroin user for years and has been set free in the midst of us. We have roses at our house, and I can always tell that I'm too busy in life if those roses are blooming and I walk past them without looking at them or smelling them. Now, for some of you guys, that's going to sound weird, but just go with me for a second. Because I'm failing to notice the beauty of what God is doing around me. we're in the battle. God called us because he saw in us the ability to be good soldiers for him and to fight the good fight of faith. And sometimes in the midst of the battle, it's kind of hard to stop and smell the roses. But I would encourage you to do just that. Because not only is God doing beautiful things around us, he's doing beautiful things in us. He's changing us. If you guys had not been through an incredible metamorphosis, you wouldn't be here today. And the cool thing is, you can look out on a Sunday morning or a Thursday night and sit there and wonder, okay, who's the next deacon? Who's the next elder or pastor that God is going to raise up in our midst? And that's an awesome thing. And let me encourage you to be sure that you encourage each other. That sounds like a really simple thing. But sometimes when leaders get together, they do the weirdest thing. They run through the problem list of what's wrong so they can fix it. You don't automatically run through what's right because you don't have to necessarily do anything about what's right. It's going well. But as leaders, we're drawn to what's wrong so we can fix it, which is great, commendable. But if we don't stop to notice what the Lord's doing in us and through us, we're going to miss something really, really awesome. And I've said before that Christianity isn't just about, you know, oh, going through this awful thing of life until we just barely make it breathing to heaven. But it's about eternity or heaven. It's not about us getting into heaven. It's about heaven getting into us. And stopping and going, man, look at that person getting saved. Look at that person. Look at the beauty of the tears of repentance. Look at this person being changed before my eyes. Watching somebody come into the service, beat up and beat down, and walk out knowing they're a child of God. That's an encouraging thing. And we need to encourage each other. Because God does an awesome thing. He does it in my marriage with Nora. God somehow doesn't allow both of us to be really downcast at the same time. One of us will be beat up. And the other one will be really filled with the passion of the Lord and encourage the other. But what would happen if the person who was really encouraged in the Lord didn't encourage the other person? Ministry is hard. And let me tell you something. In my mind, ministry is harder on some of y'all than it is on me, and I'll explain that. Because you have the additional responsibilities of a full-time job and the responsibilities of ministry. You got to know that, I mean, you guys are literally, and I don't use the word lightly, you're heroes to myself and the staff. And I've often commented that, you know, hey, let's be sure we're taking care of these people and caring for their soul because, you know, they're come in here after work, after serving, after doing this, and after caring for kids, or working and caring for kids, or working and caring for kids and doing homeschool, get worn out just saying it. So, on behalf of myself and my wife and the staff, thank you. It's an honor to serve with you. And it's a beautiful thing, the loyalty that exists among us. Because if you've been in leadership for very long, you've already messed up. As a matter of fact, all of you have been in leadership for over a month, so you've messed up. So, and we've heard about it. But we're still here encouraging you and supporting you. Because ministry is not how many times you get knocked down. It's that you keep getting back up when you get knocked down. And there's people in this room that are closer than others. Those people that are close to you, make sure they're doing well spiritually. And if you see something, love them enough to say something. Yeah, are you okay? Is this okay? Is that all right? Because that's a wonderful expression of love. Soul care. S-O-U-L. I'm just curious, has anybody here ever served in leadership, deacon, elder, pastor at another church? Raise your hand. Do you notice the difference between what we do and what happened in those other places? Because I've served in several churches and their leadership. And do you know what these meetings are? These meetings are beating up the people who are pouring out. A lot of it. Are dealing with what's wrong. There's a lot that's wrong with the world, and we could certainly sit around and talk about that. But it's glorious that we get to sit around and talk about the good that God's doing in our midst, isn't it? And we're not sitting here talking about praying for a revival or hoping for a revival. We're looking around watching revival break out. And like so many times before now, figuring out how to hold on for dear life in the midst of it. And that's a good thing. Because, a disciple, another word for a disciple is an adherent, which obviously comes from the word adhere. What does adhere mean? Stick to. We stick to Jesus. Stick to each other, we'll continue to see incredibly glorious, beautiful things in our midst. And somehow God has chosen us to be a part. And for that, we owe him not only our thanks, but our very lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for choosing us. And Lord, you chose us in spite of our frailties and our weaknesses. But you also chose us because you saw something in us. Somebody that loved you, somebody that cared about other people, somebody that had leadership qualities and potential. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be better disciples, better adherents, better leaders. Lord, knowing that being a disciple and being a leader are things that can be improved upon. Knowing that we start from a place of grace. We start from a place of forgiveness and love. And you have chosen us as ministers of reconciliation. To tell the people around us and to remind them and to tell the world that there is a God who cares, a God who loves, a God who forgives. Lord, I pray for each person in here for fresh fire, fresh giftings, fresh passion for you and what we've been honored and called to do. And help us to remember that it is a position of honor, but it's not an honorary position. Help us to lead and serve the people that you've entrusted to us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. We're going to split up for a few minutes, and Nora's going to take the ladies, I think, into the sanctuary. There's a little place in the sanctuary for the ladies. So, and guys, just kind of hang here, and then in a couple minutes, DA's going to share a word.
All right, gentlemen. Good to see you again. Everybody enjoying the bakery products in the back? Aren't they good? Praise the Lord. So eat them all, so I don't, okay? Pastor David, be down on them. And I love the Mexican bakery. If y'all, it's beside Cookout, just in case you're curious, on South Main Street. Really cheap, super duper cheap, and you can get a ton of stuff for an affordable price. So I encourage you to stop by. I went to, some of you know Enrique Dominguez. He does our translation, and he had me over for dinner a few months back, and I was asking him about where to get some good pastries at. And he says, man, y'all have one of the best bakeries in all of the triad right there in Kernersville. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. So now I have another addiction. No, it's not an addiction. So cool. Just wanted to share a couple seconds here. Praying for you. Often the elders keep you in prayer. And every Wednesday, Pastor David has the pastors get together. And he comes in and we pray for y'all specifically. And then staff comes in and we pray again for you on a weekly basis. And a lot of time the Lord, he really pours himself out and kind of gives us insight for what he's doing and how we can be a blessing to even more people. So be encouraged to know that you're getting prayed for on a regular basis, that often the Lord brings your name up specifically even, and you get prayed for immediately. And that means a lot to me when I know that people are praying for me, and I pray that means a lot to you as well, knowing that people are praying. It's good. I was thinking also this week about when I gave my life to the Lord, when I remember actually getting it, Jesus forgiving me of my sins, and what a glorious moment that was. I encourage you to think about that often when we remember we were in bondage and then set free from bondage. And then not only that moment, but then when the Lord recognized you as a deacon in his church, and how special of a moment that was. It's cool, Pastor Dave was talking about the honor it is to be a deacon and the potential that lies there. You know, it's, I remember being here not long and, you know, within a year or something, and Pastor David was praying for us, and he prayed for me specifically, and he, you know, prayed a word of prophecy over my life, talking about God going to raise me up in ministry in this place. And I think about all the battles that I personally have went through on that journey, and looking across, and Pastor Dave was mentioning it, many of the battles that each one of us has faced on that journey. But aren't you grateful for what God has done in your life? Isn't it exciting that God brought you through that and the things that you learned through those high spots and low spots? Hasn't there been a maturity developed in our hearts and our relationship with the Lord through those high spots and low spots? Andrea put something on her door this week. It was a picture of a desert and then a beautiful garden. And it talked about the rain being in the valley where everything grows. And we like to have those mountaintop experiences. Those are good in our life, those, you know, stones of remembrance where God really did something crazy. But it's also good that we go through some of the valleys and we receive that rain and we begin to flourish and that fruit comes forth. James talks about, you know, letting us go through those trials and letting our faith be tested, giving us an opportunity to be patient and become mature in the Lord. That's one of the things I'm grateful for here. I've been reading about Aaron a lot recently. I'm in Numbers in the scriptures. And I've been sharing it some at the men's Bible study about Aaron. And specifically, Aaron, I think it's interesting. Some things are interesting about Aaron's life. Number one, God's up on the mountain telling Moses to raise up Aaron as priest while Aaron is downstairs making a mistake. I mean, he's God, right? He knew what was going down at the bottom of the mountain, and yet he chose Aaron, not because he was perfect, but because he wanted to do something in his life and use him to be a blessing to other people. So Moses comes down, you know, and they go through the whole fiasco. And then later on, God calls Moses and Aaron to talk to them, to give them a word directly. So then Aaron gets to receive a direct word from God. And he gives them a command, you know, hey, you're going to speak, you know, Aaron's going to speak on behalf of Moses to the people. I mean, behalf of me, really, God and Moses to the Israelites. So they go up on the mountaintop with some of the Israelites and they communicate, you know, hey, this is what God's going to do through us. And it says miraculous signs happened. It's cool that Aaron received the word and then God did a work through Aaron. And then after that moment, God gives Aaron some of his responsibilities in the temple. And Aaron does his responsibilities in the temple. And one of the things that he did was raise other people up to do the work of the ministry as well. It talks about his family and then the bigger circle of family. One of the greatest assets to me in ministry here at the Bridge is receiving the word. Through thick and thin, me and leadership, Pastor David has taught specifically me in my life, I'm talking intimately here, to make sure that we're in the word and we're listening to the teachings on a consistent basis. And no one, Pastor didn't ask me to come up here and say, hey, make sure that they're listening to the teachings. He didn't say anything about that. I'm telling you that one of the most pivotal parts of my growth as a Christian is listening to him teach the Bible to me. Yes, Pastor Kevin and Pastor Mike as well, but being in the teachings. And I understand with the level of responsibility that many of us have in this room, that pulls us away from that. Well, God has called us to do those things. He's also called us to hear that word. Gentlemen, please, feed on the word. Feed on the word. Read the word. You know, develop a habit of trying to read the word daily. Develop that habit. Pastor David, I remember one time I was in the sanctuary vacuuming. The lights were off. Pastor Kevin was trying to get me out of there. You know, hurry up, go home. I'd only been there, you know, a year or so at the church. And Pastor David came out from behind the back of the green room, wherever he was, down the stage, across the sanctuary. I'm vacuuming, walks right up to me, says, you're reading too much at the word at one time. You're just trying to read the word. Just read a little bit and digest it. And he turned around and walked off. what was that about? And it's true, because I was trying to just read the word as a task and just do it and get it done. And from that point on, I just started reading the word just a little bit to hear what God had to say. One of the things we sometimes beat ourselves up with, you know, I was looking at Aaron. Aaron received the word. He received it in a couple different ways. He received it from God. He received it from Moses. And then obviously the reading of the law, he received it. So he received it directly from the Lord. He received it from another spiritual leader, or he received it from reading the Bible, from the reading of the law. And then after that, we see that action happened in his life. And then after that action happened, we see disciples made. Gentlemen, the way that God in my heart, and I think Pastor David has showed us that, his commitment to the word has raised up disciples in this place. And as we elevate the priority of the word in our hearts, God will then begin to bear fruit in our life, and disciples will be made as well. Sometimes I specifically beat myself up because I'm trying to, you know, make disciples, take action, be a man of action. And I become brittle and calloused. And even in my communication, many of you have experienced that in that relationship with me, you know, brittle and callous and harsh, because I'm just trying to make it happen, pump it out. But I'm finding recently, as I become a healthy sheep myself, healthy sheep are produced in friendships, relationships, other brothers who serve the Lord. So I just want to encourage you in that for a minute. And then, you know, with that, you see Aaron holding up Moses' hand, right? Moses, they were in battle, Amalekites. Joshua was down on the bottom. When they held his hands up, what happened? They won. When he put his hands down, what happened? Not so good. So what did he need? He needed somebody to hold his hands up. That's a responsibility that we have to help Pastor David. You know, okay, this is awesome. So the school's here now, right? It's 432 children, I think, specifically, and a staff of like 26 or so teachers. And so far, at least five people we know have given their life to Christ, children, here in this place, through the school, all right? Three teachers have come and asked for prayer specifically. The principal, as recently as last week, has come and asked for prayer. And then there's several teachers, I don't know, I know of one specifically, I've heard of more, who have been in the cafe asking questions to the baristas. Just asking questions. Yeah, praise the Lord, right? So there's a lot to get done. And Pastor often says, you know, God raises up other men. Yeah, and in a lot of ways, he gifts us because Pastor David can't do everything. And each one of us can't do everything. But don't think for a minute that Pastor David isn't willing to do every part in this ministry. You know, even I brought up the school, because with the school, there's been a collective lot of stuff in the hallways and out in the grounds and some more graffiti and things of this nature. It's been increasing. We're trying to hang on and keep up with all that's going on so that we can continue to serve these people. And I've yet to walk down the hall with Pastor David and him stop and start picking up trash or scraping a sticker off the floor. The same sticker that I walked past three times that morning when I walked back and forth to the cafe. Just because, you know what? Yeah, I'll try and pick up some of the trash, but I can't quite get to it this time. Us doing what God has gifted us to do enables him to walk in the giftings and calling that God has on his life, so we can continue to multiply and reach all that he's called us to reach. And a way for us to stay focused and unbrittle is to be men who put a high preference and authority of the word in our life. It keeps it all going, gentlemen. Keeps you fresh, keeps you asking forgiveness, keeps you being forgiving to other people because you see the grace of the Lord. So, enough yip yap for me. Just want to encourage you, please, to stay in the word. And it helps just that river of living water that keeps everything fresh, 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 fresh. Enables you to pour out fresh water to others. What do you think? Let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in this place, Lord, and thank you for the opportunities that you've given us for ministry, Father. Lord, we mean that genuinely. Lord, tomorrow morning there is going to be a house full of guests who don't know you, some who do, some who are struggling. Lord, and we're going to heaven. We're going. We've asked forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in our heart. And Lord, we ask that you would help us, Father, to put a high priority in spending time with you, Father. Spending time in your word. So that when we come in here, Lord, we're ready to be a blessing to the people around us, God. Lord, help us to pray for Pastor David on a daily basis. Every time we think of his name, may we pray for him, Father. And Lord, we pray that every person that comes in this place tomorrow is encouraged, they're blessed, and they grow in their relationship with you, Father. Every person. So Lord, do above and beyond what we could ask or imagine, because it's by grace and mercy. We can't do any of this on our own, in our own strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right.
You know, one of the things the enemy wants to do in your life is to take what's a blessing and turn it into bondage. Take what is a blessing and turn it to bondage. To begin to look at something instead of saying, I get to saying, I got to. And this can happen across the board. And it does happen. This is a common attack of the enemy. And this is what the Lord wants me to share with you. Because you can begin to look at, God, really, seriously, I gotta ask for forgiveness? No, you get to ask for forgiveness. God, do I gotta be in your word? No, you get to be in his word. The world does this over and over and over and over and over. They look at marriages. Anybody ever heard the ball and chain analogy? You can nod your head. They're in the other room. Somebody like... See, that's twisted. Because that's a vehicle of blessing. People look at it, you got to go to church? No, I get to go to church. Do you got to be a deacon? No, you get to be a deacon. And if you want to know real bondage, try not walking in your calling. And watch what happens. I've tried the Jonah thing. Being in the belly of a whale is no way to live. Running from God, from what he's telling you to do. John, in the book of John, Jesus says, and it's a familiar passage, you don't need to turn there. He says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A few verses later, therefore the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Part of your freedom. Now, I'm talking about in terms of sanctification. Positionally, when you're forgiven, born again, you're set free. But we all understand that it's a process of being set free from the things that would hold us back. Your maximum freedom comes when you walk fully into what you're called in. Because if you do anything else, you're running from God like Jonah. And I have no doubt in my mind that some of us, notice the pronoun us, not you guys, or y'all, or yous guys, but us. Part of the problem is we look at things that we get to do as things we got to do. And no doubt some of you have looked at it, oh, I gotta be a deacon. No, you've been called to be a deacon. And to experience maximum freedom is to walk in those giftings. To embrace that. I said, I think it was last Sunday, you know, being in ministry is not something I do, it's my life. It involves things that I do, but it's much more than that. Being a deacon is not something you do. It's your life. Now, I don't mean that it's 24/7. We all need time to sleep and eat and spend time with loved ones and but have you begun to look at your blessing as bondage? I could phrase that a different way. Where are you looking at your blessing as bondage? Are you looking at being here on a Thursday night as a bondage? It's a blessing. Looking at leading a life group as bondage, it's a blessing. And it's through God's grace because you and I don't deserve any of this. And yet the God who knows everything about us calls us to do this. And not just so he can bless others through us, but because he wants to bless us. You know, I'm just going to give you a minute or two to think of any area in your life where you've began to look at a blessing as bondage. And I'll just let the Holy Spirit do his work, and in a few minutes I'll close in prayer and the ladies will come back in. I'll kick this time off with a short prayer and then just kind of a time of silence, if you will, let you hear from the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you. We ask individually and corporately for your forgiveness and ask for your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts. And like the psalmists say, Lord, examine us. Show us and tell us if there's something wrong. Show us and tell us if we've been looking at any blessing, our job, our calling, our family, our marriage, our friendships, our church, the services, the things we're called to, any of that. If we've been looking at any of our blessings as bondage, Lord, show us and cause us to ask you for forgiveness. Just take a moment and listen for the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for our many blessings. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for any area of our life that we've looked at your blessings, at your callings, at your giftings, in a way of bondage. Lord, it would be better to be a doorkeeper in your house than to have the riches of the world. And Lord, you've honored us. May we honor you. And we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to show us, convict us, convince us. Whenever we begin to slip into looking at your blessings as bondage. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Are the ladies coming on the way back, do you know? I'll probably wait till they get back to mention this. And I would encourage you, we're going to close in a few minutes, but if you can, I would encourage you to hang out, pray with people, talk with people. I'm still finishing up my study for tomorrow, so I'm going to have to duck out of here in a few minutes, but I want to mention something. There's some Bible teachers out there that I really admire, both, well, mainly for them clinging to the Word and being verse-by-verse teachers. The creme de la creme is no longer teaching the Word. He's with the Word. That's Pastor Chuck. So, and one of the things I loved about him is I'd been in churches that were very Pentecostal and been in churches that taught the word, but it seemed like those were, for a lot of places, mutually exclusive. And to find a place that believed in the supernaturally, you know, work of the Lord, and yet clung to the word was a beautiful find. And that was more of a man than a movement. It was Pastor Chuck, not necessarily Calvary Chapel per se. A couple other teachers that I like and I enjoy are Warren Wiersbe, J. Vernon McGee, and John MacArthur. Those three, however, are what we would call cessationist, or they believe that God acted a particular way during the Gospels or the writing of the New Testament, but he doesn't act that way anymore. He used to heal. He doesn't heal anymore. I don't know what you do with that verse that says we're supposed to pray for people when they're sick if God doesn't heal. I mean, Jesus, just go ahead and take them home because we know you don't heal no more. I wouldn't want anybody praying for me that was praying that prayer. You know, I will be healed. And the really sad thing is all that is predicated on a really twisted, I would say, eisegesis of a passage in Corinthians that says, you know, you don't need to turn there. 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. That's talking about the coming of the Lord, the second coming. These folks say that that is when the Bible's completed, which when you need somebody to explain to you what the passage means, otherwise you would miss it, that's dangerous territory. Now, the reason I'm even mentioning this, and I'll keep this somewhat brief, this is not meant to be an exhaustive theological treatise on the Holy Spirit. In Numbers 3, there's two guys, Nadab and Abihu, and what they do is they enter into rebellion, and they decide that they're going to do things in the temple that they've not been called to do. They've not been gifted to do. As a matter of fact, to do them is in itself an act of rebellion. And they offered what's referred to in Scripture as strange fire. Okay? Now, the reason I'm mentioning this to you is you might have people that ask you about it, or people talking online or whatever. Because there are people who are sort of not Pentecostal, but open to the things of the Spirit. I heard Charles Stanley teach just an awesome teaching on being filled with the Spirit. And he even talked about the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. I thought, now they were going to kick him out, but it didn't happen. I guess he's too well known for them to do that. But then there are those who say that they don't believe these gifts are for today. And then there's people that go even further, that say any movement of these gifts, any recognition of these gifts is in itself demonic. And it's kind of sad to say that that's where John MacArthur went in this past week. He held a conference called Strange Fire. And it was about how anybody involved in any of the gifts, charismata in the Greek, that's where we get the word charismatic, meaning we believe in the gifts of healing. We believe in the gifts of prophecy, of God speaking to his people, that God still speaks to his people. And he and others took the position that all this was demonic and went so far as to start naming names of anybody who believed in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, anybody who believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of sad. And if you don't need to listen to the teachings. I've just given you a synopsis so you don't have to go trucking through the trash. I did it for you. But if anybody asks, I wanted to have y'all prepared. Because I know sometimes I get so involved in ministry, I'm not aware of what's going on out there, you know. So just kind of give you a heads up towards that. And in a, I'm not going to sit up here and bash John. He's a great Bible teacher. But this is a weird position. And even weirder is the name of his church is Grace Community. So I don't know how I don't know how you talk about other believers being filled with demons and call your church Grace, but evidently you can. But instead of dogging him out, I think the way we'll close is to lay hands and pray for each other and ask for God to visit us with his Spirit and stir up those gifts. And we know from the Bible that Paul talks about that gifts can be transferred by the laying on of hands and stirred up that way. So I want to do that, and I'm going to ask we start by the elders walking around laying hands on people for the first few minutes, and then and after that, anybody who wants to lay hands on somebody else, to just let the Lord lead you. If God gives you a verse for somebody or gives you an encouraging word or something, I would encourage that. The Bible says lay hands on no man suddenly, meaning figure out what somebody's about. You don't just want to lay hands on a Mormon that comes by your house or anything. Well, maybe lay hands on him in a different way. But since we know each other, we can do this openly and look forward to what the Lord's going to do. And I don't think there's we'll just let the Holy Spirit move. And there's probably not going to be a close to this meeting. We're just going to pray for people. And, you know, in a few minutes, if you need to go, I get that. I understand it. I'm going to have to slip out at some point. But let's let the Lord have his way. And let me pray. And Randy, if you can play some worship music while we pray for people, that'd be awesome. God, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, thank you for that verse. That you give us the Holy Spirit so we can be witnesses. Lord, the primary thing is to empower us to walk out this walk following you. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God who still heals. Yahweh Rapha. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that, God. That you're a God who still speaks to us. And not just through pastors and teachers, but God, you will speak directly to us. Lord, thank you that you're not silent. You didn't stop talking when the New Testament was finished. And Lord, may we win over people who are afraid of the Holy Spirit by our love for you and our love for them. Lord, we ask that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit and that you would stir up the gifts that are in us and that you would supernaturally deposit new ones in us even. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for that passage in the Word where you say, look, if you ask for a bread, I'm not going to give you a stone or a serpent. And how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for, not it, for him? So, Lord, we're asking for you. We're asking for your Holy Spirit. We're asking for fresh fire and a fresh infilling and the stirring up. And thank you for the model that we see in the Word of these things.